Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:51 Central African time, at the time of the morning, where we join our very own Ahmad. Ahmad Paras. Yes, I'm getting confused with the Member of Parliament and our councillor from Itikweni. Yes, it's Ahmad Parak, alhamdulillah, someone that resonates positively on the platforms of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Councillor Ahmad Parak, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan and sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful Saturday, first day of Ramzan Shafat.
Alhamdulillah, absolutely, Ahmad, and you know, you get into the spirit, and you were very fortunate in that, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, you grew up with a lovely, big family, and you know, Siri must have been so different, Ahmad, when, you know, the whole family got together, mum, dad, and the brothers and sisters. Can you share that moment with us, Ahmad?
Alhamdulillah, Shafat, we were at that time maybe about 8 in the family. My few brothers left to go on their own, but we were about plus minus between 8 and 9, and you know, to get up all together on one table for Seri and also for iftar, what a nice feeling. And you know, the my mother used to get up early, and my sister-in-laws, whoever was married, my brothers were married, staying with us, and they all used to get together in the morning and then go to the kitchen. Everything was like done, alhamdulillah. Today, you know, Shabbat, you know, today you don't get that. What I can say is that, you know, that muhabbat, that the old, in the old days we had, the unity we had, you know, everything was like, before you could blink, it was like done. This is the today, you know, everything they just need. Before they used to fill the samosa, they used to make the pie, they used to do everything themselves. Today, everything is ordered, Shafat. That's where the barakat is also going away. Today, you know, alhamdulillah, we Allah has given us lots of people. You know, our community is blessed with wealth. So maybe because of that, they're going and buying out. But the barakat is when you all sit together, eat together, and make things together. You know, that's where the barakat is, Shafat.
No, you brought it alive there, Ahmad. And as you said, the spirit of giving, the spirit of enjoyment, the spirit of, you know, love, that was there because it all was done. And the barakah, as Ahmad said, it just flowed. I mean, you ate and ate, but there was still more and more and more. And this, you know, of sending platters to neighbors at that time, people sending to you and so forth. And it's like, you know, there was so much of abundance that you could feed your whole neighborhood, Ahmad.
No, alhamdulillah. You know, Shafat, that's what, you know, even when we were in Spingo Beach, you know, it was like flowing from all sides, you know, from the flats. Yeah, people know us. And some people even were like out of, you know, from Spingo Beach, they used to send that platter or whatever it is, you know, go drop it there and all that. You know, that was the feeling, and everything used to happen that time, you know. Today, what can I say, Shafat? Everything you say, you know, press with a button. Groceries, you want 60 minutes, your groceries is at your doorstep. You want to, you know, it's sad today that, you know what, that feeling slowly going away, you know. That is it, you know. So what can we say, Shafat? You know, Allah make it easy for everyone today.
No, absolutely. And Ahmad, you know, you are still very relevant, being the former president of the IBC, the Islamic Burial Council, and, you know, in Ramadan, and you know, a lot of people made parda and all that. Tell us some of the, you know, how the Qabristans are being taken care of. What's the latest update when it comes to kafan dafan, Ahmad?
Yeah. Shabbat, alhamdulillah, you know, everything is in trip. You know, I've always been in contact with my former colleagues and all that at Islamic Burial Council, and you know, I'm still doing the work of Deen in terms of kafan work, and whenever there's any government legislation, anything to do with mortuaries, you know, they're still phoning me to do the release from either Pinetown Mortuary, Phoenix Mortuary, or in the South Coast now is the Pakrani Mortuary. So, you know, obviously, you know, Gale Street is closed. So we're still getting that work done, and it, you know, we still have that contact there, and they're still phoning me. They're saying, you know, you made for this work, you know how this thing works, and you know, now it made it much easier for me. You know, people want affidavits and all that. You know, I'm a commissioner of oaths now because I'm a counselor. You know, I got my own rubber stamp, I got my own letterhead from the council that I just draw the affidavits. I've got standard affidavit in some cases. I have to, you know, I dictate the affidavit, and in no time I do the affidavit, and they go to the police station and get the affidavit done for, especially after hours. In some cases they have lost the ID, some cases they don't have no documentation and all that. So we get everything done, so it has made it much easier for me now. And then previously, I had to get the affidavits done, and then we take it to the police station and get it stamped, or whoever we knew, an attorney who worked the commissioner of oaths. They used to do the, they used to sign the commissioner of oaths, put the rubber stamp and sign it. Today, I can do that myself. So, you know, that I got one set I keep here, one set at the office, one set I keep in my car. Whenever I get called out, I just go with my bag. I can do the affidavit, and then I get the things done for the community. And this is, alhamdulillah, with your people's dua, Shabbat.
I tell you, Ahmed, that you're very current, and you're someone that I always embrace and celebrate, because you walk the talk. It's not only you talk the talk, but you walk the talk. And also, you know, I was talking to Michael Swain the other day about that South African, you know, the draft health regulations. And I reminded him during the interview. I said, you know who connected you and I? It was Ahmed Farooq. He said, oh, yes, how's Ahmed? I said, no, Ahmed's doing very well. He's a counselor now, and he's helping many people. So, you know, whilst on that note of that draft health regulations, what do you thought of that, Ahmed? I mean, the draconian laws being pushed through, but it still has to be debated in Parliament and so forth. What's your thoughts, Ahmed?
Well, I have already started mobilizing at people to not to sign that, object to that documentation, because it's so far they're trying to push something down our throat, which we shouldn't be, because the thing is, in that draft agreement, what they want us to sign, we are going to sign virtually our life away, because then it make it so easy for them to get whatever information they want on us to go and get it. And therefore, we said it must not be signed. And in fact, this thing, he did send me the documentation. I've studied it, and I've given it to one of my very good friend advocate. He's just making some notes. Hopefully, by next week, inshallah, I will be in a much better position to start sending the proper letter to the various Jamiatul Ulama and our Ulama councils to say these are the points that I have picked up, why we shouldn't be letting this legislation go. But obviously, we still got time. This thing still have to come before the full executive of the parliament before it can get passed. So we still have time at our disposal. But people need to understand, when they get things like that, they need to act on immediately, object to it, and we've always mobilized with the family, friends, and everyone. And then, like the last one we had, that agreement, we went and mobilized. In Shafat, within one Juma Bayan I gave, and a few other Juma Bayan, within this thing, Michael Swain was shocked. Overnight, he had something like 5,000 signatures at his disposal. So that's what the power is all about. When you go and talk from the member, and you go and tell them what it is. And people, in 40 folks, when I signed that, that first day of my bayan there, at the Juma bayan, I had 800 signatures alone, Shafat. So this is where it is. I always said to all the Ulama councils and all that, things like this, you bring it before the masjid, do it on a Juma. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anything to do with community where it affected the Muslim community, you bring it from there and the people know about it. You know, when I spoke about what is happening in the council, people didn't know. You know, now they know what is actually happening. They know how to take cover for rates and taxes and everything. So this is where it is very important. You know, some ulamas in the view that, you know, we shouldn't be talking politics from the masjid and all that. But it's not that. It is affecting who? Affecting not the Muslim community, the community at large. So these are the things that you should be bringing from the member, Shafat.
Absolutely, Ahmed. And you talk about Michael Swain. He belongs to For South Africa, Freedom of Religion, South Africa. And yeah, he actually made that point. He said, you know, the joining hands with the Muslim community and with others, you know, they really, it was a Pepuda bill and all that. It made a big difference. And alhamdulillah, well done there, Ahmed. And he says, now already the church have objected to that. And I'll be getting, you know, our objections coming through and all that. Well, I'm looking at a question here. Amir says, Assalamu alaikum, Abu Chef. And Ahmed Parak, the counselor, is doing a brilliant job, Chef. And please pose this question to him. Ahmed, there is this separate shutdown. And then they have shut down Gale Street. What else will they shut down? I mean, Amir is asking you some very valid question there, Ahmed.
Shafat, the issue about Gale Street mortuary was one that building was like virtually condemned. They haven't spent money for a very long time in that. So in terms of hygiene and the Department of Labor, they have condemned that building. So instead of them spending more money, and some of these mortuaries were underutilized. So when it was underutilized, then they said, you know, they'd rather take that resource from Gale Street Mortuary and put it into Phoenix, Pinetown, and Park Rainey. So that's what it is. But the idea behind everything of these mortuaries are, in fact, if you go to Albert Luthuli Hospital, right opposite the Albert Luthuli Hospital, there's a huge piece of ground there. It's already been earmarked by the Department of Public Works. There we're talking about putting an M6 mortuary. Now that M6 mortuary, you'll take all three mortuaries and put it into one. And your cost factor in that will come drastically down by about 40%. So that's where when I sat on the feasibility and we worked out. Now this thing was approved like about 5 years ago. But because of funding and it was going from one department to another, they shelved it. In fact, if you go to Cape Town, just behind the Mowbray Cemetery, they have put up a M6 mortuary in Cape Town. It's a state-of-the-art mortuary. And I was fortunate in 2021 to go and visit when we did the Ghusl Khana at Mowbray Cemetery. This is the, you know, the very second Ghusl Khana in the country I put together. And I went and said, saw that mortuary. It is a state of the art. Now, it took away a lot of all the smaller splinter mortuaries and brought the resources, and that's the way they will be able to save money. They will save on doctors. They will save on transport. They will save on manpower, everything. So it will be much better instead of having 3-4 mortuaries, put it into one roof, and it's easier to control purposes as well, Shafat. Whereas the other question is concerned, SAFREP, you know, obviously it's controlled by Holland, and obviously they, you know, with them is everything about rands and cents. Now, when they do not make money, what they do, they're not like us, keep patching and putting money and making things work. They believe in closing it up and then put the money somewhere else where they get return on their money. So in that case there, and obviously nobody wants to refine fuel because there's no money in refining fuels. The money is in retail where all the garages and all make more money than the refining process. So that is the reason that they have wanted to pull out from South Africa. And they will get, in fact, you know, Malaysian company, the engine, they have already indicated they have already want to pull out from the Mia Bank plant of Angel. Now, that plant has not been renewed for the last 20 years. So it will cost them too much to renew that plant. So these are the issues they are faced with because they're not keeping up with the times in terms of renewing and all. When they're doing the shutdown to do the repairs, then they're discovering that there's more problems to this plant than what it is actually.
You know, Ahmed, you talk about the Malaysian consortium. Yeah, I was aware of them being of a part shareholders of Engine. What about that, you know, the waterfront project? I mean, I believe that, you know, they used to call it Point Road. And the Malaysian consortium were there to develop it many, many years ago, something like 10, 12 years ago. What happened to that project, Ahmed?
Shafat, in the last 15 years, that project, you know, in fact, I was, when I was driving with the deputy mayor to Famaputa, there was a huge problem with the school there. And I had to, he invited me, he says, you know what, I want to take you with me, but don't bring your car, but I'm going to take you with the ND8 now. You know, you got an ND8 that is the deputy mayor's vehicle. He's taking me to Famaputa to go and see a site in for a school. And if you look at, I'll come to your question now. If you look at that school, Shafat, there's three feeder schools to that one school. Now, that school where we went to is a high school. Firstly, it is illegal to have asbestos roof. Number two, there's only 20 classrooms. In one class, Shafad, I counted myself, 153 in grade 11, 153 students, one teacher, Shafad. We, you know, when I came back home, I told my wife and my granddaughter, I said, Fatima, you must make lakh shukar. That first thing I asked, Fatima, how many is in your classroom? She said, Dada, we got about 24 or 25, she said, something like that. I said, you know what, today I counted in grade 11, one school got 153 students, one teacher. He said, no, can't be, Dada, you're lying. I said, come with me one day, I'm going to tell you. And when I went through the schools, four toilets with 660 students, Shafat, that is the thing that we must make shukar that, you know what, our education system, our private schools and all that, and we, even some of our model schools, C school, take Spingo Beach School. And I remember when I was fighting Spingo Beach School for before the school renovation took place there, what they were doing, Shafat, you won't believe it, they were taking our money and they put it in, and Raj Bansi was a councillor and he was a big, one of the top knobs at the Itigwini municipality and the province. Every time we were pushing them to get the school, because our children were getting sick because those pipes and all that were corroded and they were getting diarrhea and all that. So when we're pushing them, what they used to do is we go hard on them. I had used to call meetings at civic hall. We go very hard on them. They change the principal. As soon as you put a lot of pressure, another principal comes. So when you bring the next principal, that poor principal have to start the whole process again. So this, they pull time. Then from the inside, somehow the other, you know, Allah does in a mysterious way. One guy came to me, he said, hey, Mr. Farooq, I want to see you. I said, what is it? He says, you know what? Your own guy has pulled a trick on you. I said, how so? He says, you know what? The funding for the Spingo Beach School was already done. He has taken this funding and he put it in a school in Tongat. I said, who is that person? He says, the late Raj Bansi. So I went, I got that information. I went to the government, the education department. I got all the paperwork, everything, you know, I made sure I got all my ducks in a row. I went to Arena Park where he used to live. I said, Mr. Raj Bansi, how are you? And all that. He knew me. So I said, you know what? I got news for you. I got something for you. I said, you see this here? This school here, was this funding was for a school in Spingo Beach where I stay. You have taken this funds and you have put it into Tonga. You have sanctioned it. You bypassed the whole system. I'm giving you 48 hours to sort this thing out, or I'm bringing a high court application to halt that project of yours, what you did in Tonga. They will come to a standstill. They won't put one brick, will not be laid. Shafat, you won't believe it. Within 7 days, the construction, Natal building contractors were at Spingo Beach School, and we had the Spingo Beach School, or the U block came up, Shafat. So this is the issues that we always face. Now, just to recap that question that came, Shafat.
The question, we are talking about, what was it? The shutdown of Gale Street and that. And then you spoke about the informer. What else? I mean, I lost it. I think you answered it all, Ahmed.
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
So yeah, you answered that. What I want to do is, I'm seeing on the screen this question. Did we lose a question there, Boniface? Yeah. Okay, no, I bring that up. Yeah, there's one here. This says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak. What about the informal settlement? What are we doing as Muslims? Isn't it time for us to give the deen to those young people that are living there? Ramadan is the right time. Ahmad, get your team in action. Ahmad, there's people passing the buck to you, but you know what? You get things done, Ahmad.
Shafat, the city has got 154 informal settlements. Now, let me just remind our listeners and, you know, how informal settlement come into place. Now, nobody wants to come and what we can call it in layman's language is the jandals, what we call it. Informal settlement is jandals. They just get, now, even in the jandal system, informal settlement, where the land is there, they come and put up the tin shacks and everything. You'll always find like a Induna, like how you go to in the rural areas and all, you get the tribal chiefs and all that. They handle the land and everything. Yet, you know, you go to Mavel, you go to by Macro, you go to Clare Estate, all those shacks and all. You'll get one big OG there. He's like the heavyweight there. His shack is a little bit better than the others and all. Like he's the chief now. Now, every time you want a small space, you're paying him once off, 1500 rand or whatever it is. That's how he does it. 154 informal settlements in the city of Durban. What happened? Who brought these checks? How this thing came about? The dollar system in KZN and also in the Itigwini House. You see, the ANC, they wanted the votes. Now, they brought all these guys from the rural area. They brought them here. They said, there's a land here. Put up your this thing here, your shack and all. And that's how you will see. If you're going to Reservoir Hills too, you'll see right next to the freeway, there's all those jandalas. And this is how the ANC actually brought to people to vote for them. And that's how they've been winning. And this last 2021 election, they spent in the region of 75 million. Shafat, the hamper pack they gave away, you know, you'll be shocked with anything from 600 to 750 rand, a hamper pack. I gave a decent big hamper pack. Now, I came to you and you got five in your family. I give you one big hamper pack. Hey, must vote for ANC. You went to neighbor. You know, in no time, the whole entire that informal settlement was loved ANC because why? What they gave? They gave 750 rand hamper pack, their vote, and that's how they came into power for the 2021. They just made it. They actually only got 94 seats. They just virtually made it because otherwise they should have been blown out, and they wanted to hold on to the city. For us, we Muslim, to give, to feed them, to assist them, you know, which we are doing. We're doing it not only Ramzan time we have to do, we have been doing it throughout the year, even in the shutdown as well as the looting time. We have been very, very, you know, the Muslim community, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us, and we give. When we give, we really give. And every day, there's akni been given to them. You know, they don't like halim in Ramzan and all, but we're still giving them akni, this bread. Distribution of bread is going to the informal settlement. Action as in my party, even here in this informal settlement, we put up in the whole of that one whole informal settlement, there was not one toilet. We put up the toilets. Action as in we managed to get donors, we managed to get the toilets, and we put up toilets there. Women and children were relieving themselves in bushes there, Shabbat. That's how it is. But when it comes to our community and assisting the informal jandala people, or you can call it the informal people who are settled there, we are looking after them, Shabbat.
And it's quite a challenge indeed. And as I said, for dawah purposes, inshallah, we can look into that. And, you know, I'm looking at a question. It says, Ahmad Parak, surely that school that you went to, the ANC failed the community and those learners. The people should learn that the ANC is not delivering from the time it came into power. How do you respond to Anonymous, Ahmad?
Shafat, the ANC is losing ground. They only, the biggest worry at the moment, the ANC government at the moment, Ramaphosa, he was 2 weeks ago in Dubai trying to bring funders into South Africa, because they, at the moment the funding has dried up all internationally for South Africa, because, you know, we're in the verge of about junk status. So, we, you know, because of all the big Oppenheimers and all the big companies and big corporates, yeah, we are just under the radar there in terms of that. The problem is you can't do anything about anything. The problem, the ANC government has let us down for the last 29 years now. They have let us down very badly. And if you take the current ANC sitting in Itigwini municipality, there is not one Indian, there is not one white or colored in that 94 seats they have got. I was like shocked when I first got into council on the 1st of November. And you know what? They're good friends of mine. You know, although I'm from a complete different party, and they know Action SA is going to be the second biggest party in the country come 2024. And they are aware of it. And Herman Mashaba, he doesn't play. He's like me. He talks the talk. He doesn't play. He got one policy. He make sure that if a thing is wrong, it's wrong. There is no right. You can't make a wrong into a right. So he's very, very particular in terms. And our party policy is very stringent when it comes to that. And we said, ANC is not our friends. DA is not our friends. Our only option is to fix South Africa. That is our logo, and that's what we're going to do. So the ANC is losing ground. The brothers who send us that message, yes, we're sending him this message. The ANC is going to definitely lose ground. And for them, they'll have to start working with the coalition government from the 2024 election. There's no way they will be able to come into power.
Yeah, Ahmed, we look at Amakhosi Xhosa, we look at Herman Mashaba and Action SA, and this is Amakhosi Xhosa says that the party has brought her name into disrepute. What happened there, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, I want to be very, very upfront. Makosi Kosa, Herman Mashaba and Makosi Kosa to come and sign me up. And when I went to Action SA, I made it myself very, very clear that I need to be 1, 2, 3, which they honored me, and we came into power because my name was on 1, 2, 3, but unfortunately my name came number 4. I managed to, we got 4 seats, I'm in council. Farah Makosi Xhosa, she's got 35 years experience with the ANC. She's got ANC blood in her. There's no doubt about it. When she came to Action SA, we're paying Makosi Xhosa 100 grand a month, Shafat, with vehicle and 2 bodyguards. We spent 6 million on Makosi Xhosa when she was a chairperson with Action SA. What she delivered 12 seats. And those 2, Newcastle and Kwadabuza, we hardly spent any money. The bulk of the money was spent in Itigwini, but she never delivered. End of the day, I think we have made a big, big mistake putting her photos up in all the street polls and everything, thinking that we will be able to bring in. Our aim was to get in 10 seats. We were far short of what we're supposed to have brought. Makosi Xhosa has not delivered. She sent, now that's where the question is. She sent us a letter to Herman Mashaba, to our party, to say that she wants to resign from the party. She thought she was going to hit us with a bluff to say that, you know what, if she steps down, the Action SA will fall down in Durban and Saroli. So what we did was, we said, no, fine, no, that's not an issue. We accepted her resignation. She didn't expect that Herman Mashaba will accept that resignation. When we accept the resignation, she had nowhere to go. That's number one. When in the 1st of November election, she was number one. My the current chairperson is number 2. Anand Bailey is an accountant. He's number three. Ahmed Farak is number four. So we got our four seat. And we made it very, very clear. When I say we, Action SA made it very clear that we shouldn't mix ourselves with the ANC government because we're fighting them to get service delivery. There was a position for MPAC, where MPAC is look after the money of the city. And when that position came up, she went and made a deal with the ANC, and then the ANC voted her in as the chairperson of the MPAC. And we were, Herman Mashaba was very, very disappointed in that. And then also, she went and mobilized people against the party. And she brought the party under disrepute. When you bring party under disrepute, Herman Mashaba don't look back. We have got in Action SA a fully fledged senior advocate. She looked at the matter. There was five counts of five counts were put before her. She appeared before the disciplinary, and on all five counts she was found guilty, and she was even removed from Itigwini municipality, and her membership was terminated with immediate effect. And that's what happened, Shaban. That is the actual picture I give you. That's what has transpired, Shaban.
Yeah, very eloquent indeed, Ahmed. And Jazakallah khair for that. You cleared the air and you cleared many people's minds there. And Jazakallah khair for that. And then you look at KZN. I mean, honestly, it's a Zulu province. The late king, Goodwill Zwelithini, played a major role in deciding how his subjects will vote and so forth. And the new king, there's always this tug of war. The prince, his half brother, and all fighting for the throne. But we noticed that it came to Cyril Ramaphosa. He went and gave, was it 60 million, to the king? And he said, yeah, I recognize you. Talk to us about this tug of war in the royal family. How is it affecting politics in KZN, Ahmed?
Shafak, there was a proper will, from my understanding. And Buthelezi played a huge part in patching this whole royal family. And if you read in today's press, you will see the king is going to be getting married soon. In fact, he has proposed to one of the smart ladies in Newcastle. And yesterday they paid the lavola and everything. I've just been reading that this morning. And so that's it. So the matter came before court, and the court has found it that the king in question is the right king, that his name appears there in terms of the will. Everything is fine, and that's how. In fact, when this matter was before court for about 5-6 months, we didn't have a king, and all that monies which was supposed to be paid from government to the palace that was not paid, and that's the money has been given back to the palace for the working. For the working of they got a special budget for King Zwelithini for his palace in Ngoma. They have the whole thing that the province normally runs that. There's a special budget for that, for the running of the, for the, in terms of vehicles, for the upkeeping of that, the farms and everything else. So that's where everything has come to a halt now. Everything has been sorted out. So the king is in his place now. Even yesterday, from my understanding, that even the other brother who was against this brother here, they have like more or less patched it and they have come together now. That's the latest, Shafak.
Yeah, looking at this question, Rashid said, a very informative program. Jazakallah khair. You guys are bringing up the right issues, and I'm happy with it. And Rashid wants to know from you, what about the security on the beachfront? Have you all sorted that issue, Ahmed Farak? Because it's getting quite dangerous at this side. Ahmed?
This matter has been actually tabled in council in terms of, because of tourism and everything, because we're going to start losing. April is around the corner here, and in the next 2 weeks from now, you will get the Easter holidays. Nobody wants to come to Durban when you're going to get mud and you will have a problem in the beach and the water when sewage is coming to our seas and all that. So all that has been already taken care of. Metro Police has been already briefed. The South African Police, the Commissioner of Police, the Head of Commissioner of Police of KZN has put a special task team to oversee to that. And they have got a satellite police station where in the at the beachfront, as you know, they're going to give them additional manpower because there is 200,000, you know, qualified in the for the 2022 qualified South African police personnel coming from Pretoria, and they have been posted all over the show at the moment, and they want to bring also to bring up some of this. Police stations are not up to speed, and some of them you can't even go to the toilet. That's how bad it is. So they have already been assigned to start sorting these things out, Shafat.
Yeah, Ahmed, you know, you're thinking aloud here. There's some of the criminals that are patrolling the beachfront are young as 11, 12, 13 years old, and they're using, you know, pen knives and so forth, and actually stabbing and attacking people. When these young criminals or these juveniles get caught, whatever punishment are they given, Ahmed?
Shabbat, you know, our system, you know, our constitution made it very, very clear in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act. And when it comes to juvenile and all, there's a juvenile court at our magistrate court here in Durban, and Point Police Station is being assigned specially to look after that area because now they move maintenance into court in the Point areas to make it expedited for the females to come there and get the maintenance issue sorted out quick as possible and all that. So far as the juvenile is, you know, they want to make this, Shafa, these are youngsters and, you know, some of them are like the, what you call the hunger boys and all that. And they want a quick buck. And this is, they just go behind them and threat, some of them even threaten them. And just take the wallet, take the cell phones, and all. For them it's quick. But you take a good cell phone today, it weighs worth about 2,500 to 3,000 rand. They sell it for 500, and that day is done. You know what I mean? And today to track that phone back, you can get your phone back because the systems are in place to get your phone back as well. So these are the and you know what? You can't do much because these for them to, for us to even catch them, they're into all different of these jondolos where they stay and these informal settlement places, you know, to for SAPS to Metro to go into one of these jondolos, you know, you can't go alone. You need to go with the guys, about 8 or 9 of them, then only you can bring the guy out and all that. That's how bad it is, Shafat. So end of the day, these are cheap criminals that just want to make a quick buck and all that. But you know what? Unfortunately, you must understand when you need a police force about 500,000 only in KZN, and then you when you're short, then this is the problem you face with because that you don't have enough personnel to man all these areas, Shafat.
Mustafa, assalamu alaikum. Lovely show, and I'm really enjoying every moment. Ahmed Aparak, I'm listening to talks in the street. They say that the 350 Rand grant that the people are collecting at the post office will now be collected at various supermarkets. Here in my hometown, it's a nightmare. They're busting bottles, they're drinking, and they're urinating all over. Is it true, Ahmed, that the post office will no more be giving the 350 grand? Ahmed, your thoughts, your information?
As far as that is concerned, in fact, also you'll find in government, we also trying to move away, you know, where you have to go in long queues and all that for your passport and for your ID. In the next 12 months or a year, in 2023, you'll be able to go and apply for your ID and everything at your bank. Because everything, even if you go, today you don't even have to go. Everything is e-wallet. Today, who goes to the bank? Previously, in the old days, we used to go and meet the bank manager. Used to come and meet us once a year or something. Come and have a cup of tea at your office. See how you are. You need any facilities. Are you okay? Cost factor you need to bring down, are you happy and all. Those days are gone. Everything is more centralized now. Today you don't even meet the bank manager, you don't know who's your you operating with FNB or Standard Bank, Net Bank or whichever bank. You're doing everything by computer. So you just what you need and everything, you send them an email and you get your information back and that's how you do it work today. So this is the problem that we face with. And yes, the 350 will be shifted away from the post office, because post office system is giving the government a little bit of a problem at the moment, but some of the times that is not in working condition and everything else. They did the due diligence on that, and they found it would be appropriate to send it to like the bigger supermarkets and all the supermarkets where they will be able to get access for that money, as well as if they want to buy some groceries and all, they'll be able to do it quickly from there. That's the whole the system that we're putting together at the moment.
Absolutely brilliant, Ahmad. I really enjoyed you this morning. Perhaps your parting words?
Shabbat, we must make dua. Alhamdulillah, today is the first day of fast. We make dua that Allah may keep everybody salamat. And whoever is sick in hospital, remove them from the hospital, give them complete shiva, bring them home where they'll be able to come home and where they'll get better facilities at home than what you can get in a hospital, where Allah's Rasul's name is being taken, and Allah make it easy for everyone. So wherever we are, Shafat, wherever we got problem all over the world, Allah make it easy. In this month of Ramzan, Allah always accept everybody's dua, Shafat.
Ameen, Ahmad, and keep up with the good work. I'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.